book of Philippians, please. Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1. We're going to have testimonies here in just a moment. Just want to give you a short challenge from the Word. And leading up to these testimonies, I want you to know that this is time to we are family. We are friends. And we are tonight looking to encourage one another. Our ultimate purpose is to exalt Christ. Because, as I'm going to mention here in just a moment, that was Ms. Elizabeth's goal in life. That's what it was. And for that, we are very grateful. Philippians chapter 1, I'll begin reading in verse 21, and we'll read through verse number 24. The Bible says, "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose I want not. For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you." You know, this evening as we gather together around God's Word and as we gather around our God's people, we are looking to draw encouragement from God's Word. And we are thinking about this passage. God laid this on my heart. I believe it was yesterday that if I had a chance, if I had a word to share with the church, Lord, I said, give me something that I can share with the family and that would be appropriate and encouraging. And this is what he brought to mind immediately. The title of this message is this: Stay or Go, That I Just Don't Know. Stay or Go, That I Just Don't Know. That is what Paul's dilemma was in this section, in this season of his life. You'll remember in the context, he's writing from jail. This is a prison epistle. He is actually going to be freed one more time before he would go home to be with the Lord. But this is about 6 years before God would finally call him home. And he's at a struggle right now. And I want us to just notice a few things here that I think we can easily, very easily make application to our dear sister, Ms. Elizabeth. The first thing we see here is Paul's life was Christ in verse 21. He said, "For to me to live," and you could, that word is italicized. It literally reads, "For me to live, Christ." I like what Kenneth Wee said in his commentary on this book of the Philippians. He said, "All of Paul's activities, all of his interests, the entire round of his existence is ensphered within that circumference, which is Christ." Paul was consumed with Jesus Christ. That's who he was. His goal in life was for people to know nothing more than Jesus Christ and him glorified and exalted. He didn't want people to know Paul. He wanted people to know Christ. And we see here that Paul gave that just flaring testimony of what we all should aim for. You know, let's be honest, some people in life are consumed by hobbies. That's their life. You see them, you know that person has that hobby, whether it's whatever. You fill in the blank. That's when you think of that person, that's what you think of. Some are consumed by pleasure. When you think of that person, they're constantly after this type of pleasure. Perhaps you think of this punny, this person, you think of maybe a job. They're consumed by their job. Some of us can't help that because, hey, you know, there are certain situations where we have to give so much of our time where we feel like it consumes us. But my point is there are some people who desire that. They don't want to do anything but work. They'll put everything aside just to pursue the American dream. And they'll sacrifice family and church and everything else for the sake of it. That's wrong. But we see here also people will be consumed by entertainment. You get around them, all they want to talk about is the latest fad, the latest Netflix show, the latest this and the latest that and the latest whatever. And it's entertainment that consumes them. But Paul, when Paul was known, when people thought of Paul, they thought of Christ. And I say with full authority in my heart, tonight, when I think of Ms. Elizabeth, even now she is with the Lord, when I think of Ms. Elizabeth, I think of Christ. She lived that verse, didn't she, church? For to me to live is Christ. Now, if she was here tonight, she'd already be getting on me for bragging on her. She didn't want any glory. She did not want any of the glory. She wanted her Savior to have it, and she felt that way. And for her to live was Christ, and what a reminder for us tonight to let that be our goal. For to me, to live is Christ. And then also we see in verse 22, Paul's life was not only was it Christ, but it was fruitful. Verse 22, look what Paul said here. But if I live in the flesh, he says this. It means he, if he remains with them, this is the fruit of my labor. He says, yet what I shall choose, I want not. Again, he's in a dilemma here. He's saying, I know if I stay here, I'm going to bring forth some fruit. Because by me serving Jesus Christ, Paul's saying, I lived long enough that when my heart is dedicated to Jesus Christ, there will be fruit. God will produce that fruit. And he says that right there, that I, if I remain, I know that I can produce fruit for the Lord Jesus Christ. I think of Ms. Elizabeth tonight. Boy, she was fruitful. Brother Dean Stringer was showing me a picture just a moment ago, and I'm sure he'll show it and share it in a moment, but it was a group of kids, probably back in the, I don't know, the 60s maybe, Brother Dean, and first and second graders, and he was pointing out, there's about 50 or 60 of them, and he just was telling that Ms. Elizabeth had an impact on all of them. And many, many scores of children throughout the decades, the past six decades, seven decades in this community, Ms. Elizabeth has poured her life. There's not a place you can't go in this town, in this community around without somehow running into somebody that in some way was impacted by Ms. Elizabeth that went to these elementary schools when they were growing up because she was there. She has a lot of fruit to her account. Wow. Can you imagine the fruit that she has? And it will continue. It will continue in the ages to come, the fruit of her labor. Tonight, we're going to hear testimonies. You know what you're going to hear? You're going to hear fruit. You're going to hear fruit. The way she invested in people. The way she gave of herself. She was a fruitful woman of God. And that's a desire that every one of us should have tonight. But then, lastly, I see here, Paul's life was in a dilemma. You see there in verse 22, and then in verse 23, he says, but this I'm going to express. He says, for I am in a strait betwixt two. What is the problem here? What does that phrase mean? Well, that's an old English phrase for saying, I'm in a fix. I am in a situation where I have no idea what to do. In fact, it's a lot stronger than a fix. It's actually hemmed up is what the word truly means here. And what it means there, the Greek word, it means to be hemmed up from two sides where you cannot go either way. He is at a place where it is fixed and he's got one side pulling from one way and he's got another one pulling the other way. What were those two things? One was to stay here on earth and to be a blessing to these churches like the Church of Philippi, to continue discipling, continue planting churches, continue encouraging, training preachers. That's what was pulling from one side. And the other side was home. Going home to be with his Savior. That was the dilemma. And this word here we see, and there in verse 23, it says, having a desire to depart. That was one pull from him. That word depart it carries the idea of pulling up stakes. And that's what that word means in the Greek. Paul used that terminology because he was a tent maker and he always used things that he could relate to in his explanation. And that word means picking up stakes, breaking camp. Paul said, I want to break camp. I'm ready to pull up the stakes and head home. That's what Paul was saying. But this is what we see here in continuing. He said that was one pull. That was one side that was pulling. And he said, by the way, it's far better. But look at verse 24. He says, nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. Here's the other side. He's saying, I got this tug of war going on in my heart. I've served my Lord. I'm ready to go home. But then he's like, but I love you and I know God's got to work for me and I want to stay and invest. And he's going back and forth and he can't go anywhere. But when he says this right here, more needful for me to stay for you, God would keep him around another 6 years to invest in this church and others like it for the glory of God. You know, I think of Ms. Elizabeth. I think of her tonight. God kept Ms. Elizabeth here because, church, we needed her. You needed her. I needed her. I needed her testimony. I needed her influence. I needed her encouragement. I needed her prayers. I needed her counsel. I'm glad God kept her here for the time He did. It was more needful for Brinson Jennings and you fill in the line, Crooked Creek Baptist Church, Jackson County. It was needful for Elizabeth Archer to remain here until she was of the age of 91 years old. I'm thankful. But yesterday afternoon, the stakes were pulled up. God called her name. And of course, the servant she is. Of course, she was ready. She was ready to go to be with her Savior, her Master. I'm thankful tonight to be able to testify that it was needful for us to have Miss Elizabeth as long as we did. And she will continue to live out in our lives. You know that, don't you? Her impact of this church, the influence that she's had, it will live on because it was all in the name of Jesus that she did it. It was in Christ for her to live. It was Christ. Here in just a moment, we would like to open this up for testimonies. Many of you will be able to give those testimonies. There's only one thing that I would like to request. Be mindful as you testify. Be mindful of the time. Because by you being mindful of the time, it does give others an opportunity to say something. So I would say keeping it within a few minutes, 2 minutes or so, that would be very appropriate, I would say. Because I'm sure there's a lot of people here that would love to say something about Ms. Elizabeth. And we just open that up. We don't put pressure on anyone, but we do have microphones. What you can do is just stand in your place and hold the microphone close enough to where we pick it up through the speakers because that helps everyone hear it clearly. But let's just do that, church. As we think about our sister Elizabeth and the great testimony of Jesus Christ she was to us, let's just spend some time testifying tonight. Would someone like to start us off in giving a brief testimony of how Ms. Elizabeth impacted your life? Brother Thomas Dyer up here at the front.
Ms. Elizabeth, as I'm sure everybody would know, was a great influence in our family's life. She was always there to encourage us during the hard times. It seems like she would always know when we were going through a tough time, and she might slip us some money in a card or something like that. But just the right time. Because she was a praying woman.
Yes.
I do recall something funny. One of the first times I talked to her, she came up to me down in the old part of the church in the hall and said, you better do something about your boy. I said, what happened? He slid out from under the bathroom stall without unlocking it. So I guess that's when she was cleaning up, and she didn't like that very much. That boy was Jason. That was a long time ago. But I said, yes, ma'am. I'll talk to him about it. And that was the thing about her. She could bless you down 1 minute and just be,
yes,
eating you up the next. You know, she was so sweet that way. But you always knew where she was coming from. You always knew where you stood with her. And that's
yes,
what I loved about her. And the thing that really stood out to me about her. She always told me many times, I wish I had another life to give to the Lord.
Yes.
That really speaks to her dedication and just how she served others.
I was going to say that Miss Elizabeth meant so much to me and my family. When we very first started coming here, she always treated me and Ricky like her children and all my children like her grandchildren. She would ask me every Sunday, you know, how we were doing. Even after, like, Noelle and Josie stopped going here, she would still ask me about once a month how they were doing, what they were doing. I knew she was praying for us all the time. She would call me and tell me she was praying for us. She would even ask me about Ricky's parents and his sister. And every time they came to church, she would make sure she came over and spoke to them and talked to them, made them feel welcome. Like Thomas said, she was always giving us money. And I would try to turn it down. I say, Miss Elizabeth, now you don't need to give us that. And she would just look me in the eye and say, don't you rob me of this blessing now. Yes, ma'am. I will not. And it was always, like Thomas said, no matter what the amount was, we truly needed it. So I know she was praying and she would always say, God told me to give you this.
Amen.
Whenever she gave it to us. And she would always remember my children's birthdays and give them a birthday card. Probably Amen. Slip them a little bit of money, too, that she probably didn't have. She was always encouraging and loving. But like Thomas said, she always correct you, too, if you needed it. No problem. But that's fine. If I needed it, I needed it. But she just meant so much to me and my family. It was such Amen. A godly influence on us. Going to miss her greatly.
Amen. Amen.
Okay. You couldn't not accept money from her because she was so in touch with God. She just knew. And, I mean, other than just you couldn't disobey Miss Elizabeth. You just couldn't. But she always knew when there was a need, and it was always when there was a pressing need. But what I wanted to say is I always felt like she looked at me through God's eyes. She saw the potential that I had serving
Amen.
Somewhere else or the potential I could have serving here. And she was just always cheering me on. And anybody that's heard her testimony, it's something that I wish every young lady could hear.
Yes.
How she had the opportunity for marriage. But God's work was more important. And the man wasn't in line with that. And just to have that strength.
Yeah.
And so God has really spoken to me through her life and testimony.
Amen.
But especially just seeing how she sees people through God's eyes and through their full potential in Christ.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. All right, next.
I will never forget the first day I walked into this church. It was Miss Elizabeth that welcomed me.
Amen.
And she had been at our home before because she and Barbara, my oldest daughter, worked together a lot at NGM. That's where Barbara met her husband, was down there working with the NGM. But she was so welcoming. And always, you'd see a new person come in the church. She was right there to greet them, always.
Yes, she was.
And she invited me to come and sit with her, and this is where I sat. This is where I've been sitting ever since. But she was just such a trooper, a hard worker, and a prayer warrior. We had those prayer meetings on Friday mornings for several years. And she just was always right there in the middle of it.
Amen.
I learned a lot from that lady.
Yes.
Sweet, sweet lady.
Amen. Amen. All right. Next. You have a testimony?
When my family first started coming here, on Wednesday nights, the ladies would break up into small groups and pray. We'd only been here 2 or 3 weeks, and I got in a group with Miss Elizabeth. And as the ladies prayed and as she began to pray, she called, she prayed for each member of my family. I heard her call out my kids' names in prayer, and I looked at her like, how did we even really know our names? And the way that she prayed, I could tell she'd already been praying for us before that point. And that just meant so much to me. And I knew, always knew that she was praying for us. And I will miss that.
Amen. Amen. Yes, Stephanie?
Really, Miss Elizabeth, I really got close with her the last couple of years. I've known her since I was, I guess, probably 6 or 7, a little over 40 years. But this last couple of years, I had been her substitute mail carrier for a couple of years in a row. And I just enjoyed, on Saturdays when it was my day to run her route, I would go to her house. This was before we moved her mailbox to her ramp. Greg actually did that for us, and when she couldn't, you know, after she broke her hip and everything. But I enjoyed going there on Saturdays because she'd always call me in. So I'd get a little break, you know, 10, 15 minutes. And every Saturday she'd pray with me about something. Mm. It didn't matter what it was, what was going on. If, you know, something couldn't be going on, but we would always sit there and pray about something. And that's the biggest thing that I take from her is the prayers.
Amen.
You know, with Greg this last 7 months, I know there was one night that she told me. She woke up in the middle of the night, and Greg was on her mind. Mm-hmm. And that night, we had actually rushed to the hospital.
Mm.
So she said to me that she had woke up and she felt that. And so she did a lot of praying out to God for Greg. And that was the week, or that was the moment where we knew that it was ready in time for him to have his pancreas surgery.
Hmm.
So I will cherish her forever.
Amen.
Mainly because of that.
Amen.
I'll never forget her.
Amen. Thank you, Stephanie. Next, Brother Bentley? Or
Well, we had the mail out come down to the camp. Ms. Elizabeth was wanting to come down there with us. She was probably here. She probably smacked my hand again. But she was showing me the zip codes. And she said, no, they go like this. And you go like this. She popped me on the hand. And she says, oh, did I do that? I says, well, yeah. She says, I am so sorry. But she was such a praying warrior, you know, for the camp. She always wanted to make sure that me and Beth had our support. How things was going at the camp. We go to her house, you have to sit aside about a couple of hours. Because as you talked, you know, time just flew. And she was such a prayer warrior, but I never will forget her popping me on the hand. Because, you know, I wasn't doing it right. Yes, I learned real fast that the zip code goes just like she wanted it. And if you didn't do it that way, you were doing it wrong. But she always was, you know, up on the kids here, and we kind of just let Miss Elizabeth, you know, make sure the kids got their lessons in. But she was a sweet lady. Thank you.
Amen. Amen. All right.
Miss Elizabeth was my friend. She was just my friend as well as everybody's friend in here.
Yeah.
She rang my phone, just like Andrea said, many times just checking on somebody in my family. And I just appreciated her faithfulness, how she poured into my children, and how she just lived out her testimony. I know we'll all see her again one day, but I just wish I could get in on her wisdom one more time.
Yeah.
You know, she's lots of words of wisdom. And I have something I wanted to share. Cassidy sent a testimony for her also that I wanted to share. And she said, as a child roaming around the church while my parents were in choir practice, I knew that I had better find myself behaving when I would see Miss Elizabeth coming down the hall. But even as a young kid, she was an example to me of a faithful woman of God with a servant's heart. I first noticed this in the way that she faithfully kept the church clean throughout the past few years as I have grown into my 20s. You know, you always pray for your children that they have wise counsel in their path. just appreciate that so much.
Amen.
As she grown into her 20s, she became a dear friend to me. I further saw her eternal impact through her work with NGM and through her investments with missions. These were two very personal areas in my life. She was a pioneer of NGM, a ministry that God has used monumentally in my life, especially in spurring me on to missions, where it was at NGM camp when I first felt the tug to carry out the Great Commission in a foreign mission field. Just as God tied together NGM with missions, Miss Elizabeth played a huge role in both those areas. Not only did she pray for me while I was in Uganda, but she was the only person who supported me financially every single month I was there, each time writing a note of encouragement to me. I have gained a friend in Miss Elizabeth. I have not lost her, even though I can't grasp the thought of not seeing her anymore. She was a spiritual grandmother to me, and my heart will forever remain changed and uplifted because of her constant outpouring into my life through phone calls, prayers, cards, gifts, hugs, and love. God is the God of endurance and encouragement, and there is no one on earth who has molded that more truly than my dear friend and sister in Christ, Miss Elizabeth.
Amen. Amen. All right, next testimony.
In 1974, Elizabeth became my friend.
Mm-hmm.
We spent a lot of time together. We prayed and we laughed and we went so many places. We went on visitation together a lot. And I asked her, I said, please, Elizabeth, just teach me. Just teach me. And we got in a lot of situations, and I was so glad she was there. Because had I been alone, I wouldn't have known how to answer some of the questions that we faced. And so I learned so much just from her for that. And like Kay said, and so many of you have said, she was everybody's friend. But 40-something years, 45 years, I think, is a long time to have a friend. And for whatever reason, God allowed it. I did not know until church this morning that she had already gone home to be with the Lord. And I went home and checked my email, and it was in my junk mail. So for some reason, God allowed it to be like that. I don't know why. But we loved her so much, and she prayed for us like everyone. And she knew how we longed for a baby. She knew we were trying to adopt. And she prayed for us very faithfully and encouraged us. And when Tim came along, she thought he was hers. This was her grandchild. She was going to help us raise him, and she did. She did, but she loved him so much, and he loved her. And we were, can I share about yesterday, just briefly?
Yeah, let's just
very briefly. I'm not going to go into any detail. We were there visiting Elizabeth yesterday, and just without going into the details, when we got ready to leave, before we left, Eugenia was there, and Brother Brinson and his family was there. And before we left, Jerry prayed, and then she called. Timothy was going over to give her a hug and tell her bye, and she called Timothy Motion, and she's looked up into his face, and she said, will you pray for me? Mm. Because she knew how often Tim prayed for her.
Amen.
And he leaned over. I don't know what he said, but he leaned over and he prayed for her. And that was precious. That was precious. I wrote down some verses. I'm not even going to share them because I think most of them have been shared. But I just want to give glory to God how he can take someone like Elizabeth and just mold her and make her into one of the most godly women I have ever known and will ever know. And just thank God for sending her to my life and for her not just being my sister in Christ, but a very close and dear, precious friend. And we will all miss her for sure, but we're going to see her again soon.
Yes.
We've got to pray for each other because a lot of us are not going to have her prayers anymore. We have to pray for each other.
Mm. Amen. Thank you. Someone else like to give a testimony? Yes, Miss Kathy?
Anyway, I've got some of you beat because I've known Miss Elizabeth since I was about 9, and I won't tell you how many years that is, but she has been a friend of our family for a long time. And
yeah.
things happen along the way, and she was there for us. And she knows how much she's meant to us. And she loved this church very much.
Yeah.
And she loved ACS. And she loved NGM. And I'm so glad y'all could be here. There was not a time that we had, our family had a request or a burden or a problem that we could not call her and ask her to pray for us. And we knew beyond any doubt that she would. And she did. And we're so thankful for that ministry. I'm thankful for that ministry. As her Sunday school teacher, I could have been a little intimidated by her presence in the room, but she always was complimentary and very gracious, and I appreciate that about her, too. I wanted to say to young people, she loves y'all. She loved y'all.
Yeah.
And sometimes she would come across a little, what's the word? Mean sometimes. And I'm so glad, Thomas, you started out with that story, because that's her. And she was not afraid to tell you that you were doing something wrong, or your children, or whatever. But you know what? It's because she loved you. She
yeah.
loved you. And she wanted you and all of us. She got on to me sometimes, too. But she wanted us to follow God and do His will.
Amen.
And that is something that you don't find in a lot of people. And so I appreciated her for that as well. The songs tonight have been just right on target.
Amen.
For her life. And so thank you, guys. That song was wonderful that y'all sang. And the
yes,
congregational
it was.
Songs. So I just appreciate her, and I'm going to miss her.
Amen.
I was just going to say that one of my first memories of Miss Elizabeth was her getting on to me in the hallway. I don't know how old we were, but there was a bunch of us, Dyers, Reynolds, all of us running around in the hallway. And I remember that we were running this way, and she was coming down these steps. And so we didn't know that she was there. Our parents were in choir, so we thought we could get away with it. And all of a sudden, she comes around the corner, and we all just freeze. And she goes, "We don't run in God's house." And we were like, "Yes, ma'am." And we went outside. So we didn't get in trouble. But it's funny now, because now that when I caught myself, when my kids would run, I would say, "We don't run in God's house." And I was like, "Oh, that came from her." So, but all the way through my year, she would send me birthday cards. She would talk to me every single Sunday. She came to my wedding, and it was hot. And she came to my wedding. She stayed the whole time. And I remember, I think it was right after I had Caden. And momming is hard. It's still hard. But I think she could just see in my face that I was struggling. And she didn't. She didn't ask me, you know, "Hey, what's going on?" I didn't offer any information. She just came up to me and simply grabbed my hand, and she said, "I'm proud of you."
Amen.
And I just, you know, and I hadn't told her anything. She just knew, I guess by the look on my face, just from knowing me my whole life, she knew I was struggling. And so she didn't try to teach me anything or say anything. She just simply said, "I'm proud of you." And it just, her encouraging words just meant so much, and they were always perfect timing.
Amen. All right. Somebody else over here? Yep.
I was just kind of say what Shaughnessy said. Miss Elizabeth she always would come to me when we first came to this church and encourage me as a mother, and my kids are grown now. And even though Stephanie has been gone, I don't know how many years, there's still precious ladies in this church who still pray for my children. And I appreciate that. And I am a strong disciplinarian, and I remember when I first came to this church, I just loved it. I was sitting behind Miss Elizabeth, and there was a child over there acting up during the sermon. She just got up and went over and got onto him and came back and sat back down. And I just thought I was going to die laughing. I thought it was so funny just because she would do that during that time. But she did. She loved all of us, and she just She was such a prayer warrior. I don't know.
Amen.
God just, you know, she allowed God to work through her in a special way.
Amen. Amen. Right over here on this side, Brother Dean.
I'll try to make this quick. I was left church this morning, got out here at the crossroads, turned to go toward the house. I turned around and came back up here. I felt impressed to come up here, and now I know why. When I heard your sermon, you talked about what you're going to do tonight. I went home, dug in boxes, trying to find these old pictures of former principal of South Jackson Elementary School back in the middle 60s. Called me one day and said, I want to pass these pictures on to someone. I don't know if there's any more around or not. I counted the kids in here, but there's 40 kids here total, and I'd say 90% of them, Miss Elizabeth either picked them up in her car, brought them to Bible school. That was back before we had church buses and or seatbelt laws, because she probably was overloaded about three times. But anyway, they would she would do that, and a lot of other people in the community would do that. I counted counted in here, and there was 12 people in the first, second, and third grade class of South Jackson Elementary School that are deceased. 12 out of that group, and I looked at all of them. And I told Ricky that I didn't need to come behind the people that are emotional, and that called me to get that way. But anyway, she either brought them to Bible school, had a large impact on their families, and I think, best of my knowledge, can remember all of them. We either saved and baptized here, all 12. She would go to schools over here at South Jackson, do what they call back then flannel graph, the little things that stuck up on the boards. Now it's PowerPoint. But anyway, but she was there for a lot of people. Whether it's death in the family, whatever the need was, back when her health would let her do it, she was there. Whatever need was, card, phone call, whatever. I finally got her to break her from paying me when I'd come by her house and do a little something. She had mailed check in the mail. I finally figured out if I signed it and went to Jackson EMC, gave it to them with my ID, they'd apply it to her electrical bill. So I finally got her to quit. Because she knew that's what I was going to do. One thing I remember, though, it's a good and bad note both. Good on her part. I'll try to hold this louder. I'm sorry. Way back when we were teenagers, that was a long time ago, the church here had a young lady that had a child. She lived in a home with her parents. She came to church one Sunday night. Shortly after that, after the child was born. There wasn't a lot of people here on Sunday nights back then. You know, it was about half the crowd what you see here now. And I noticed, I was just a teenager myself, I noticed Miss Elizabeth went to that girl, talked with her, spoke with her.
Yes.
For whatever reason, other people in the church didn't, because of not knowing what to say. And, you know, back then, this was in probably 1970. But I remember her for that. Whatever your problem, whatever your issue was, she would talk to you. She would try to help you, whatever it was. She would. And I thank you for your time and for y'all letting me share that. Amen. Anybody wants to see the picture, I'll show you a lot of people in there you may know.
Sure. Amen. Thank you. Okay, Sherry?
My favorite memories of Miss Elizabeth is the story she would tell about when she was younger. And I know when I was younger, I thought people were old. But even now, I didn't know Miss Elizabeth when she was younger. So it was really funny to think about her being a young lady driving around town, throwing kids in the back seat until the seat would explode, you know. So I just love that picture of not just the Miss Elizabeth that many of us know and have loved as an older, godly, wise woman, but as a young lady who did whatever she could with whatever she had to impact others. And I would have loved to have met her then. But one of my favorite memories of her was one of the times that she was in the hospital, I had the privilege of going and staying the night with her. And as she was preparing to go to sleep and we were praying together, she prayed Psalm 103 from memory. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Who forgets? Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. That was Miss Elizabeth's life. She never forgot the benefits of her Savior.
As I was thinking about Miss Elizabeth, I was reminded of Hebrews 11 that talks about all the heroes of the Bible who were in faith and lived faithfully. And then that reminded me of Miss Elizabeth's life. She served the Lord faithfully. And then if she found out that you were doing anything for the Lord, any kind of service, no matter how small it was, she would encourage you in that. She would talk to you about it, ask questions. Even if it seemed to be the smallest thing, she encouraged you to serve the Lord. And then I was reminded of Hebrews 12:1. It says, we're encompassed by such a great cloud of witnesses. And I think about the example she set. And she cheered us on while she was here. I think she's still cheering us on. And we should go forward in that fact. She encourages us, follow the Lord.
Yeah, I just wanted to point out how much Miss Elizabeth, what she meant to me as far as missions is concerned. And I guess because I'm not from America, that she could just see the world and was interested in the world and in the kids in the world especially. And how much she taught me how to pray. But the most impactful thing that I saw from her was that she was always cheering on this Good News Club and the NGM. That was like her foundation. She always wanted to make sure that Good News Club was coming on and everybody was going to be there or the people that needed to be there. We always prayed for that. And for NGM, she just got on to my kids about doing the lessons. I mean, to the very last minute. Becky, are your kids doing their lessons? They need to be doing their lessons. They need to go to NGM. I don't know if she said that because she probably thought I needed a break. I don't know. Or she just really wanted my kids to learn something. But I think for her, just her influence for me and my family. And I praise the Lord for her godly example to me.
Jerry's raised his hand two times now. Y'all get him on the next one. I guess you wonder how we met Miss Elizabeth. We haven't been here very long. But we're from Washington, Georgia, and my husband had a grocery store. And one day he came to lunch and said, I had the strangest call this morning. I said, what? He said, well, some Miss Mackey called me. And she said she and another lady were going to come and talk to me. She had some kind of camp going on at Crawfordville. And so by night when he came home, he had met Miss Elizabeth and Miss Mackey. Some of you don't have a clue who I'm talking about. But those ladies came and talked to him and said that they had to bring the food to the camp all the way from up here down to Crawfordville. And just were trying to find a place to get it closer. And would he help them out? And he said, give me a little while, and I'll get back with you. Within a week, he had vendors, the bread men, donated all the bread. Some of the meat men donated the meat. The chicken man donated lots of the chicken. We had an issue with one of the vendors. And he said, well, I just don't think we can do that. He said, well, you see that row of stuff over there? He said, yeah, that was his stuff. He said, well, take them out of my store then. And within a few minutes, we had that company giving food to Miss Elizabeth, to the camp. So we moved up this way in the 90s, and got us a mobile home and stayed up at Miss J.D. Elder's for a while, and because Becky had to finish AC, and that would be halfway to camp. And so for Austin to travel, and then I would have to travel to Gainesville. Well, I don't know. We visited here at this church, and we and got to know a lot of people. And Miss Elizabeth somehow or another said something about mailbox. And we got home that evening, and Austin says, you know, all that mailbox club, because I had a mailbox club and had mailbox going out all over the United States. He said, well, you know that mailbox stuff you've got in there. He says, you can't take it with us because we can't put it in that mobile home. And I prayed and I prayed and I prayed. I didn't know what to do with all of that stuff. And then after Miss Elizabeth said something about mailbox, we went to talk to Miss Elizabeth. And it was enough mail. I have no idea how long she was able to use it, but it started at the very beginning class and went all the way up through adult. And so Miss Elizabeth was given a gracious amount of mailbox lessons for the children that she was speaking to at school and at the fairs that we took her to. I love taking Miss Elizabeth to the DQ. We did have a good time, and she, in her sweet, wonderful way, she ran the DQ while we were there and told them where we needed to sit and where we needed to go, and would you please get me a refill on this? And I thought, well, they will. Just hang in there. I think the sweetest time I had ever had with her, when we moved back this time, she wasn't able to come visit us, and we had to go visit her, which was a treat. But I would go and visit Miss Elizabeth, needing her to pray for me, and before I never got to tell her why I was there, because she would ask me to pray for her. And it was just an honor to sit in her presence and be able to take her to the throne of grace for whatever need she asked me to pray for at the time. So I wish I had been able to sit in her presence and listen to her really pray for whatever reason. But she never did see us, even till the last time she was at this church, that she didn't ask me about Becky. This is our youngest child that was at AC. She always wanted to know about Becky. And then after Becky had her son, she always wanted to know about him. So, you know, I know you young people are sitting here and wishing that we would hush, but Miss Elizabeth knew your name. She could call your name, and when she did, she prayed for you. She didn't pray for all of the Dyer children or all of the Hess children or all of the Busey children. She called your name and prayed for each one of you that way. So for that reason, remember Miss Elizabeth.
Amen. Amen. Ms. Elizabeth was a prayer warrior for the whole church. When she said she was going to pray for you,
yes,
you could take it to the bank. She was going to pray for you. She's prayed for my family for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
The last few years, she's prayed even harder. She'd call my phone, a house phone, my wife's phone, find out where we were. She'd say, I've been praying for you. And we'd call her. Anything she needed, she could get it. Went to see her Saturday. Me and Linda Timothy. We didn't know it was going to be the last time we ever seen her. We walked in. She didn't look real great. And my wife talked to her, and we called Eugenia, and she came down. And Brother Brinson and his family was there, and she just kind of pepped up there a little bit. And, you know, you don't think about her gone right then. And we found out this morning, you know, and yesterday afternoon about 4:30 she died. It's probably best that we didn't know last night, because my wife wouldn't have slept a wink. She don't sleep a lot anyway. Timothy had been worried about her, but we was talking about missing prayers. I don't think I'm going to miss a prayer. I think she's still praying for me. I think she's going to continue to pray for us.
All right. These testimonies have been absolutely wonderful and encouraging. And let's be honest, we could go on for another few hours. We really could, because she truly impacted all of us, and we're thankful for that. We rejoice in that. And don't stop sharing with others how Ms. Elizabeth impacted your life. Don't stop sharing. Don't stop cherishing those things. Write them down. I agree 100%. She prays for all of us by name, the children and all. And I believe daily she had a list. She prayed for the preachers of this community. She prayed for their families, and she was a community-minded person. She had a heart. And I think the biggest thing that we can draw from her life, and we'll be hearing more about this, of course, will be the visitation will probably be Tuesday night at Evan's funeral home, and the funeral will be here on Wednesday. We don't have an exact time yet, but it'll be Wednesday here at the church. And you will be continuing to celebrate her life and to talk about those things. But we really just wanted to do this for our church tonight, for our friends and family of the church, to just be able to share and to just be, again, uplifted in our spirits because of what she meant to us. You know, as Jerry said, I was pretty shocked the way it ended. We went there, and after a visitation here, we went to the Oaks, and it's interesting, wasn't it, Eugenia, that we pulled in at the same time. And Ms. Eugenia was already kind of mad at me, because when I pulled up beside her, I rolled down the window and said, "Ma'am, you can't park there." And she looked at me and said, "Why not?" She was a little nicer than that, but she didn't know who I was. I had my sunglasses on. But I noticed in her hand was a DQ Blizzard. I said, "She's taking that from Ms. Elizabeth." Sure enough, she was. We walked in together and went in. As Jerry said, Jerry and Linda and Tim were there. She was sleeping. You could tell she was really tired and weak. But she did perk up there and sat up. And Linda and those helped her sit up. And just this, I'll never forget this. And I don't think my children will ever forget it. Marianne and Thomas. Caroline may not remember, even though Caroline was the song leader in that process. But those kids sang several songs to her, several of them that she sang along with. It's Under the Blood they sang. What Can Wash Away My Sin? Nothing But the Blood. And one of the songs that they sang, just for whatever reason, God put it on Joanna's heart to sing this one. And she knew it. She sang along, but we sang it at Bible time. And how fitting it was. And it was, "Everything's all right in my Father's house. In my Father's house. In my Father's house." And they sang all three verses, and she sang along. And then we all got around her bed and held hands, and we prayed over Ms. Elizabeth. And we had no idea that we were giving her a send-off service. Had no clue. Less than an hour, she was in glory. And just for her to just how God ordained that. I couldn't have planned that in a million years. But the Lord and His grace, she had finished her course. And now the question is, Crooked Creek Baptist Church, will we continue the course? She has done her part. She carried the gospel torch. Now, will someone take up her torch? No one can be Ms. Elizabeth here. God doesn't expect anyone to be Ms. Elizabeth. But as far as her heart for Christ and her desire to, and our desire to invest in eternity, the Lord does want that. And one of the things that stood out to me most in this testimony time tonight was her testimony of being what? A prayer warrior. Are we going to continue that? I believe we should. I believe tonight we should make a commitment, and number one, for the glory of Jesus Christ, because we don't do anything for man in that sense, but in honor of her, to realize that that is a gap that must be filled. Would you agree with me, church? We've got to fill that gap. She prayed and she interceded, and I trust that God will help us to do that by His grace.